Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose in the prayer? I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. So you want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit that He can open your eyes to things He'd have you to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, being humanity, we're creatures of time. Throughout the history of Israel, holidays, special days, feasts were very important. Spiritually speaking, they're not that important. In the church age, every day is to be lived alike. Every day is to be lived unto You. But Heavenly Father, we count time, we count days and years and months, hours. As we enter into this new year, Father, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and to understand about what lies ahead. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we close 2016, enter 2017, looking at the rapture. But we're not going to concentrate on the rapture. What's going to happen right after the rapture is what we're looking at. The judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to do anything for the rapture. In fact, there's nothing you can do. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going up. Whether you're ready or not, whatever you're doing, you don't have time to pack. You don't have time to comb your hair. When the calls comes and the shout comes and the trumpet sounds, we're gone. We're gone. But the first thing that happens, the judgment seat of Christ, you have to be prepared for that. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? And you can get ready in the year of 2017. Now we come to points that may startle some of you. And that is, there are no rewards for knowledge. No rewards for knowledge. This church is built on studying and learning the Word of God. But there are no rewards. There are no rewards for increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. There are no rewards for growing in the knowledge of Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. No rewards for those things. But why are we going to do it then? If there are no rewards for doing it, why do we want to increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why do we want to increase in the knowledge of God? Now, if you take this knowledge in the power of the Holy Spirit, it produces what becomes essential at the judgment seat of Christ, and that is intimacy with Christ. There is no merit in a husband and wife learning about each other if it doesn't lead to intimacy, if it doesn't lead to a growth in their relationship and in their love, in their obsession with each other. It is a matter, it's not knowledge for the sake of knowledge. It is not morality for the sake of morality. That's the legalist view. The legalist makes such a big issue out of morality because that to them is the issue. That is not the issue before God. That you are moral is not the issue. It's what comes about if you live a quiet life, for 1 Thessalonians 3, if you live a life increasing in the knowledge of Christ, if you live a life that is moral, is what results from that. You don't complicate your life. You don't interfere with your relationship with the Lord and increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it is the intimacy that you have with Christ that becomes the great issue at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no prophecy for the church age to be fulfilled. The next prophetic event is the rapture of the church. And believing in the rapture, understanding it, knowing it, and believing it is very important to your life, to your daily life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. When you live your life in reference to the rapture. It's going to affect your daily life. Now, the fact that we're going to be raptured and be face to face with the Lord should be an encouragement regardless of what happens through your life. Increase your occupation with Christ leads to intimacy with Christ. Now, there are many Christians who are so occupied with someone in this life that may have died before them. They're so occupied, preoccupied with that person. They think of that person all the time. They want to be with that person. I don't know if Debbie Reynolds is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I pray so, but I don't know. But I know that she was obsessed about her daughter. She didn't want to be separated from her daughter. She wanted to be with where her daughter was. And so her daughter dies, and within a week she dies. Now, where they are, I do not know. But my point is that she was obsessed with that idea. And the report is that was her biggest fear, is that she would die before her daughter. So this is a session that a lot of people have with people that they did love, their parents, husband, wife, children, obsessed with that, being with that person. People, let me tell you something. That is the attitude that you should have in respect to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, which is exactly what will happen at death or rapture. You will see Him face to face. And the same obsession that these people have, I'll get to see my mother or my dad or my children or my spouse or whatever it is. I will see Him as He really is. That is the great obsession. So we live each life anticipating seeing Him as He is at the rapture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, term of endearment from Paul, those he teaches, and the attitude of any pastor in regard to those who listen to his teaching. Be steadfast. It's an interesting word. And immovable. These two words are closely related. Steadfast means your life is fixed on seeing the Lord at death or rapture, while immovable means you're not going to be moved from that position. Things are going to happen in 2017. Not a one of us know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. But you make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved from my position in Christ and my desire to increase in the knowledge of Him, to learn of Him every day. I don't care if I live till I'll be 110. I will spend that last day increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the rapture is not only applicable to time, it's applicable to things that happen to us in time. Now, taking up where we left off last night, let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We are to live each day watching for the coming of the Lord for His church, to see Him as He really is. So let's look at Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, Titus 2, verse 13, looking, watching for the blessed hope and for the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Blessed hope. That's what it is, and that's how we are to live each day. You want to know how to live in 2017, okay, let's go back to verse 11 in Titus 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to, here you go, 1, deny ungodliness and worldly desires. People, that's tough. To deny ungodliness isn't so tough, maybe, but worldly desires? My goodness, the world is filled with things for us to desire. especially in a free country like America. I mean, magazines, television, everything. It's always on us. Look what you can buy. Look what you can buy. You get on TV and they have these programs. Well, you can't live without this necklace. You just cannot live without it. Well, let me get my phone. I can't live without it. I got to call that number. You've got to have this. Worldly desires that cause us to be distracted from increasing in the knowledge of Christ. Increasing and growing in the knowledge of God. So deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Secondly, live sensibly. Well, we could spend several hours on that. Live sensibly. Paul in Thessalonians says, live a quiet life. Live sensibly. There are people that get their life so involved with things in this world, so busy. So busy. We saw this last night. I'm busy doing this. And a lot of Christians take a lot of pride on all the things they're doing. Look at all that I'm doing. Do you have time to develop a relationship with your spouse? Do you have time to develop an intimacy with Christ when you're so busy? You're tired at night. You're tired when you wake up. You're busy all day. How are you going to develop an intimacy with Christ when you live such a busy, busy life? That's nothing to brag about. A wise person will look at you and say, you're too busy. You're too busy for relationship and marriage, and you're definitely too busy for relationship with an intimacy with the Lord. Live a sensible life in 2017. Three, righteously. Live righteously. Well, how do we live righteously? Galatians chapter 5 tells us, by faith in the Holy Spirit, the hope of righteousness in our life. It can only be gained by living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And four, godly in the present age. Boy, am I glad he added that for today. It's tough to live godly in the age in which we live. In 2017, in living this way enables us to, verse 13, to looking for the blessed hope. That's why you want to live your life denying ungodliness, worldly desires. Live sensibly, righteously, godly, looking forward to the blessed hope. Some people are just too busy. They're not in sin. I'm not talking about sin. They're just too busy. Too busy to come to Bible class. Too busy to grow in the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God. I've reached a point. I know enough now. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to get it. In my 43 years in the ministry, I've seen this over and over. I've been taking in the Word now for 25 years. I know enough now. What they're really saying is, I want to get on with my life and do things I want to do. I don't have time for Bible class anymore. I'm missing out on things, worldly things. People, you have to make up your mind what you want out of 2017. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That's at the rapture. Now, every believer should live in hope. And the rapture is categorized under three kinds of hope. Let me quickly give these to you. I don't want to dwell on these. One, blessed hope. Blessed hope. Titus 2:13, which we read. Looking for the blessed hope, hearing of Jesus Christ, the rapture. Secondly, understanding, living in accordance to the rapture, blessed, or living hope. Living hope. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I need your Bibles this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to look at verse 3 very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I love See, people back there like Kit and James, they got their computer. They look right at it. I always pick out one person that's actually looking. And when that person's found it, I'm ready to go. Okay? All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you want to grow in the knowledge of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then finally, a purifying hope. A blessed hope, a living hope, a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3. You can find Revelation, you can find 1 John. Just put it in reverse a couple of books. Jude, then 3 John, 2 John, and then 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Okay. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as you are pure positionally in Him. You purify yourself in life by keeping your eyes fixed on Him, on that hope, that confidence. I will see Him at the rapture or death, but this is dealing with the rapture. So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as he is or you are actually pure in Christ. So the rapture and then the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we have just a few minutes left. I want to go through some things here. I don't want one of you to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's right. There are going to be a lot of believers ashamed when they stand before Christ. And you will do it. Make no doubt about this. This is as pure and true as taxes and death. You will stand before the Lord. Not with your husband, not with your wife, not with your parents, not with the preacher. You'll stand by yourself, eyeball to eyeball, with the Lord. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. This is a sobering verse for 2017. If this doesn't wake you up to lay out your priorities for 2017, I don't know what will. Now, little children, abide in Him. Well, we could spend time, a couple hours on that. We abide in Him when we abide in the Holy Spirit by faith. Now, little children, abide in Him so that. Now, abiding in Him is increasing in the knowledge of Christ. Why? So that. When He appears, rapture, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. I'm sorry, people, a multitude of believers do not know that there will be a lot of shame at the coming of the Lord. Even by a lot of believers who want it to occur. It's going to be a lot. You'll be there. You believed in Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. But for a brief moment, face to face with the Lord, there will be many believers who will experience shame. Shame that they did not abide in Him, that they did not have intimacy with Him. At the judgment seat of Christ, there are rewards. Now, every Christian, I can't stand these Christians that come up with a false humility. Oh, I don't want awards. I just want to love the Lord, live my life. I don't want an award in heaven. Two things you want to remember. Two things you want to remember. Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, died on the cross for us, spiritual death, His soul crushed Isaiah 53 for us, and he did this with anticipation of reward. Isaiah chapter 53, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Rewards given to him by God the Father. So, you want to be different. Oh, I don't want awards. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, people. And secondly, since God has set up rewards, why would you not desire one? If God has set them up, why would you not want one? Why would you not live your life to get what God has set up for you? So don't give us that false humility, which is really the epitome of arrogance. Oh, I don't want reward. I just want, no. You don't understand. God has set up rewards. And there's going to be a lot of Christians ashamed when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. The rapture of the church, followed by the judgment seat of Christ, this event involves you personally, directly. The rapture should have an impact on the decisions you make throughout 2017 every day. Wednesdays, Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, every day of the week. It should impact how you live your life, the decisions you make, what you want to do with your money. Get your life complicated. Get your life simple. Get your life quiet. Get your life living sensibly. All should be geared. That day's coming. I'm going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to be judged by Him. It's a sobering fact that a lot of believers would prefer to forget, prefer to ignore, and not think about. And that's where we started a week ago this morning. Israel had all the prophecies about Jesus Christ. A lot of prophecies. We didn't even study all of them. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. They knew exactly the tribe. They even knew it's the family. They knew something about the woman. She's going to be a virgin. And they ignored it and forgot it and let it go. And they paid dearly for it. They're still paying dearly for it. Well, I'm heading you off at the pass. You can be just like the Jews, ignore it. But when you stand before him, you're going to go, And I think you probably use a stronger word than, Say, why did I miss out on this? Why did I miss out on this? So here is the point that we're going to see, and it should determine decisions we make every day. Now, we've looked at shame. We looked at the assurance of the judgment seat of Christ. You are assured you will be there. Period. Now, we looked at shame that many believers will experience at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, one more point of introduction. Purpose. Purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay. They always pick one person. When I see that one person, they found it, I'm ready to go. And that mean everyone's found it?
Over here.
I love it. Second Corinthians, chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 10. Now look at it. We don't have time to study it. Just read it. For we must. This is a must, people. This is going to happen. You don't have to live to old age. You may or may not. Jim Langston and I were saying this morning, if we'd have known we were going to live this long, we'd have taken better care of ourselves. But that's the way it goes. But this is a must. For we must all, every one of you, appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that, here it is. First of all, I know I'm going to be there. Now why? So that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, let me just quickly add, I'm not here to study this passage. Good or bad depends on what you did in the Holy Spirit. Good, if it's done in the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what it is, if it's in the Holy Spirit. Bad, in the flesh. And most believers do everything they do in the flesh. I love the Lord. I give money. I do this. They do it in the flesh. That's bad. Bad doesn't mean sinful only. Bad means not in the filling of the Spirit. That's what God looks at. Did you allow the Holy Spirit to use you in 2017, each day? Now, so that we must all appear, so this is going to happen, people, every one of you, all right, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed, rewarded, awarded. Now, we're going to look at one category of the awards. It's called crowns. Crowns in the Word of God. Crowns in the Word of God reveals rewards that the believer will see receive in various ways. One of the primary references of rewards in the ancient world was crowns. Now, really what we do today, you receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's not on your head, it's worn on your chest. It's a ribbon, pour it around. I'm sure every one of you have seen a copy of it. See? Congressional Medal of Honor. You get the military wears them on their uniform. So it refers to a wreath. A crown refers to a wreath that the athletes received from winning events in the games. And it is also refers to military decorations at the time Paul wrote. So he drew decorations from the Roman world, athletic and military. And they received something that you would see them walking in a parade or something, that you saw their crowns. You saw how they distinguished themselves in the games or in the military. Now, the first one, crown of righteousness. You want that one. You want that? So you give your life in 2017 to get it. Well, what do I have to do to get that? All right. How much money do I have to give? Let me get out my checkbook. How much does he want for me to get a crown of righteousness? How moral do I have to be? All right. I won't drink as much. I won't play cards. What does he want? What do I have to do to get this crown of righteousness? I want it. And I like that attitude. You want it. So let's find out what you do. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I hope you can say that when you die. I hope you can put that on your tombstone. A lot of Christians won't be able to. They're going to think they did, but not according to God's plan. Every believer is in full-time Christian service in the angelic conflict. We studied this last night. This battle is spiritual. This is not a battle, fought the good fight with your weight. A lot of people spend their whole life fighting the battle of weight. I gain weight. I lose weight. I've gained 20 pounds over the holidays. Now I got to lose the 20. And then I'll gain it back when I go on vacation. And I'll lose that. No, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about the good fight of finances. It's not talking about the good fight that you fight with your husband and wife. This is serious stuff, people. This is a spiritual battle that we're all involved in. I have finished the course. We saw last night that God has a plan for every one of us in 2017. We saw that last night. That's the course of your life. I have kept the faith. There's your battle. The battle is a battle of faith. Now verse 8. In the future, judgment seat of Christ again. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Paul's looking forward to it. Paul is looking forward to it. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, alright, you know Him as Savior. And if you grow in knowledge in your Christian life, you know Him as your friend. But be sure of this, whether you know Him as your friend or not, you're going to know Him as a righteous judge. You're going to stand and look at Him right face to face. You don't want to be ashamed. He's a righteous judge, and He's going to judge your life. Will award me. This is to give or award. Give in recognition of something special. You should desire these awards at the judgment seat of Christ. No false humility here. No arrogance. Then it says, on that day. This is the day that we're talking about. People, this day is coming. This time factor is coming. This day is certain. It is as certain as your death or the rapture. But you will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. The rapture is not designed to solve your problems in life. Well, I've gotten myself in such a jam financially. I've gotten myself in such a jam romantically. I've gotten myself in such a jam physically. Boy, come Lord Jesus, get me out of this jam. Let the rapture occur. Amen. People, that's why you have the Spirit-filled life. That's why you have the intake of the Word of God. Now, the rapture is not a problem-solving device. It's a glorifying event. It glorifies Christ. So don't look at the rapture as to get you out of a jam. Well, I am so under the gun here. Lord, come quickly. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not what it's about. That's why you have the Word of God. That's why you have the growth in the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. So, we're to love the rapture because it is the appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the big point. Okay, Paul, we're all happy for you. Wonderful, Paul. What about us? Look what he says. And not only to me, but also to all. This can include every one of you. And should include every one of you. But also to all who knows lots of doctrine, who prays the most, who gave the most money. No, it didn't say that. It doesn't list any words. Look what it says. But also to all who have loved His appearing. Doesn't say a word about living your life. It says who loved His appearing. That's it. Oh, I love it. I love His appearing. That's wonderful. No. Your naivety, your stupidity, your absence of knowledge of the truth. See, you got to wait and listen now. Let's look carefully at this. Who have loved His appearing. See that first phrase? Who have loved. It's a perfect tense. And the perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of a past action. Now, when you were in school, did you ever, and if you haven't, I don't want to hear about how wonderful you are, because most of us have you ever sat at a test, oh, I wish I'd have studied for this exam. I wish I'd have studied this part of history or this part of math. I wished I'd have done it, but I didn't, and now I'm paying for it on this test. See? Past action. You didn't do it. Present result, you're paying a penalty now at the test. You're going to fail that portion of the test. You weren't prepared. See, we can experience. I try to draw something you can experience. I wished I'd have been prepared for this. And that's something we can all identify with in school. I could use various other examples that would fit us in work and life, but it's one that we all pretty much know. I wish I'd have studied more, better, differently. Well, I just studied the whole wrong section of history. I was studying the Visigoths. He wasn't even talking about them. He was talking about the Caesars. See, I wish I had. That's the perfect tense. What you did in the past, present result. In the past you didn't study, present result, you're ashamed at the test. Now spiritually, in the past, did you grow in the knowledge of Christ? Did you develop an intimacy with Christ? That's going to depend on what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. And I hope if nothing else in this special, we've made very clear to you, you will be at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no escaping it. There's no hiding behind somebody in front of you. There's no blaming your preacher, blaming your husband, blaming your wife, blaming your parents, blaming your children, blaming somebody. The blame game is over. You stand there, and you will. And it's going to be based on what you did on earth. That's the perfect tense. And that's why it's translated. Who have loved in the past with the result that you're now ready for what is going to occur. Past action, spiritual love. Multitude of Christians are going to be disappointed with their human love. God is not impressed with your human love. Maybe people are, but not God. God is not impressed with human love. God is impressed with love that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. The first fruit mentioned in the Holy Spirit, love. That's the love He's looking for. Not love that comes from your flesh. I don't care how deep it is and how real it is and how wonderful it is, how important it is, how you're ready to die for it. If it's not love from the Holy Spirit, it doesn't impress God. When you live your life living in the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit by faith, He pours in spiritual love. I call it spiritual love, one, because it's from the Holy Spirit. Two, it's poured into a new spiritual creation. And three, it has spiritual impact. And we should add four, it has eternal impact, especially at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's take up a few things about this love. One, it has direction. In our study, toward the person of Jesus Christ and all that's related to Him, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you truly love someone, you rejoice at seeing them. So this is direction. And people, let me use a base example. No woman, no man wants a spouse to get involved with somebody who has multiple directions of love. Well, I love you, but I also love her. And I love her too. See? But I love him, but I also love him. See, multi-directional love. Forget it. Well, Lord, wait a minute, Lord. I loved you, but I also loved the world. I love my house. I love my things. I love pursuing money. I love enjoying. No. Judgment seat of Christ is one direction. Your love toward Jesus Christ. That's the only direction He cares about. Secondly, love has magnitude. Spiritual love has magnitude. The magnitude of your love is so strong that it is the obsession of your life. The magnitude of spiritual love is so strong that when you decide, I've learned enough, I don't want to learn anymore, this love overcomes that. People, let's face the facts. In human life, we all reach a point. In marriage, man, just, I'm tired. See? But then that love kicks in. But I love them. And so we overrule the tiredness and we go right on. Let me finish, Jim. We go right on. This is what's important about spiritual love. Is the magnitude of your love for Christ of the magnitude that will overcome obstacles, distractions, other desires in life. This has to be what every one of us has to decide and answer. Thirdly, it has impact. Spiritual love has impact in your life. It has impact at the appearing of Jesus Christ. that every area of your life is lived in reference to His coming, to seeing Him, being face to face with Him at the judgment seat of Christ, which people, I go back to that word we just read, must. Every one of us are going to have to do this. There's no avoiding it. Spiritual love makes an impact in your life. When you love someone, a love that makes a difference in your life, it changes the way you live. Because your spiritual love, coming to Jesus Christ, changes the way you live in regard to growing in the knowledge of Christ, making this, simplifying your life, living a quiet life so that you can concentrate on loving Him, developing an intimacy with Him. People, don't worry. People, a lot of preachers talk about your works and doing good and all that. I want you to read carefully the Word of God. This crown is given to those who love His appearing. It doesn't say that you lived that way. That's involved. But that's not the heart of it. The heart of it is, I love His appearing. I want to see Him. I live each day knowing that I will see Him, anticipating seeing Him. And then finally, the fourth factor of this love is sacrificial. You sacrifice your own life to live your life anticipating Christ. One of the things you learn when you marry, see, I was 67 years old when I married. For 67 years of my adult life, I've lived basically making decisions about myself. When you marry, you learn a very interesting word, compromise. Compromise. See? Sacrifice. You sacrifice for that person. And so it is with Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. They're living your life for Him. I'll sacrifice what I want. I'll sacrifice what I desire to live my life pursuing Him and developing an intimacy with Him. Spiritual love is essential in receiving the crown of righteousness. And while we're here, this is a parenthesis. This is free. Christ formed in you. What does that mean? Christ formed in you. People, the fruit of the Spirit has nine fruit. Plural. When we say singular, fruit of the Holy Spirit. To be honest, it's fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why is it plural? People, the combination of the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit forms Christ in you. You take that whole nine and you live each day living in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, following the Spirit. He starts pouring in the fruit of the Spirit, and what starts to happen? Christ is formed in you by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's quickly go to the second reward, second crown. It's the crown of life. James 1. James 1. Hi, Trey, I'm watching you and Christy here. We're all watching. All right. James chapter 1, verse 12. Starts off with a beautiful word, blessed. Do you know what that word means? I wonder how you would define it. Blessed means to possess the favor of God. See? How do you possess the favor of God? Not by what you do, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. And that by faith in the Holy Spirit. So blessed is a man, that is a believer, male or female, but a born-again believer, who perseveres. All right, there's your challenge for 2017. Perseverance. Do you know why so many companies want a college degree from their applicant? And even if the college degree has nothing to do with what they're going to do, but they still demand a college degree. Do you know why that is? Because that shows them, here's a person that at least got a college degree. We'll say 4 years, some do it in 3, some do it in 10. But at least they did it. They took the test. They studied. They sent it, they turned in papers. They were not distracted by life, by marriage, by health, by any of these type of things. That has, some of it has no fault of your own. But it distracts people. So they want somebody that they shows them they had the perseverance to do that. So in 2017, you have to find out, do you have perseverance? You're going to keep on increasing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of God, rather than be distracted by sin, distracted by pleasure, by worldly things. People, this is January 1, 2017. Let me tell you something. Outside of the rapture, January 1, 2018 is coming. It will be here. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be 1 year from today? I don't mean how much you want to weigh. I don't mean what size of clothing you wear. I don't mean by how much money you make. Where do you want to be spiritually in January 1, 2018? If you're here on this earth in 2018, neither death nor rapture has removed you, where do you want to be? You've got to set that up. And then you've got to form your life to meet that goal. What do you want to accomplish in 2017? If you are aware of the judgment seat of Christ, you want to persevere in your journey. Now, the next word in our passage, under trial. Now, this tells you something else. James 1:12, under trial. Every one of you are going to experience some type of trials, testings, sufferings in 2017. Some you may not even know about right now. Some you will be carrying over from days of this year. But we're all going to experience them under trial. How are you going to handle the trials? Going to get your eyes off of Christ and onto you and onto your problems? Going to get your eyes on the circumstances that are going on? Or are you going to keep focused on Christ? Continue your intimacy with Jesus Christ. But again, it's up to each one of you. And it comes each day. You don't get to make up your mind right now today for the whole year. No, you got to make it again tomorrow. And then you got to make it again Wednesday. And you just got to make it every day. When you wake up, you've got to make up that decision. Your eyes on Christ, your eyes on self. Under trial, for once, he has been approved. Okay, there it is. Back to the judgment seat of Christ. Approved by the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. And if you're approved, you're going to receive something. You're going to receive a crown of life. But again, the great issue, how can I be approved? I want that award. I want that crown. I want to look at Christ. I want him to be able to say, here you are. Job well done. Wear this crown. I want that. And I want that for every one of you. So how do you get it? Okay. Once he has been approved, he will receive, that's you, will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised, now watch, to those who love him. Not a word about how you work. Not a word about giving. Not a word about praying. Not a word about witnessing. Now, if you love him, you'll pray, you'll give, you'll witness, you'll tell others of him. Those are the results. The goal is to love him. We just saw under the crown of righteousness is by love. Those who love him. Now, here again we see it with the crown of life. People's spiritual love is difficult. It's not easy. Look at America today. I don't know what the percentage is, but just take Christians, born-again believers, marriages who end in divorce. It's tough to love. Take your own home relationship, your mother, your father, loving them loving you. Take life. It's tough. It's a battle. It's a battle to love your husband and wife every day, day in and day out. When they fail, when they don't fail, when they're bored, when you're bored. See? Love's tough. Love is tough. It's the battle. And he knows it. And he's going to reward those who love him and spent their life loving him, developing that love for him, who love him. If you cannot continue to love a member of the human race, and without there being a lot of trials and testings and temptations, and we have so much going for us. You have a member of the opposite sex according to God's plan. You have sex going for you. You can physically see them, hear them, touch them, feel all these wonderful things. And we still can't do it. We're still in the divorce. How are you going to continue loving through difficulty someone you can't even see? Someone you cannot touch and hear? Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that? It's going to be by faith. That's why faith is the battle. That's why faith is our great battle that we have. To those who love him. See, this gets back to what I was trying to say to you. No rewards for knowledge. Not even knowledge of Christ. Not knowledge of God. But knowledge is important. Knowledge leads to intimacy. That's what he's looking for. It's not going to be, well, here's a piece of paper, fill it out. Tell me how much you know about me. Tell me how much you know about my plan. Tell me how much you know about my word. Well, let's see, there are 66 books, I know that. They're divinely inspired, they're infallible, they're inerrant, on and on and on. Well, I can write a book on all that I know about you and your book. Not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. Do you love me? Am I the obsession of your life? Do you live anticipating to see me? Do you live anticipating to stand before me as your righteous judge? That's what I'm looking for. See, people, that's why it's so hard for a lot of Christians to understand. It's not about giving. It's not about morality. It's not about works. It's not about prayer. It's not about witnessing. It's about intimacy with him. That's what he's looking for. Those things will happen if you love him. They happen if you don't, but you're not rewarded for that. There's going to be a lot of Christians, yeah, but wait a minute. You don't understand. I went to church all the time. I opened my Bible once a week. I did this. I did that. Would you let me show you my bank account, how much money I gave to that church? You let me show you how much I gave to your service? What do you mean I don't love? Let me show you. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. See? I think right now, about Tish and now Jerry and Leslie. Wait a minute. I drive over an hour to that church and back, and you're not going to reward me for my gas, my time? No. Don't use that excuse not to go. But people, we got the wrong priorities. We're looking at what we're doing in these type of things. God wants intimacy. It's like a husband. I bought you a beautiful home, $500 million home, a beautiful pool. I got you two beautiful cars. But you don't love me. You do things for me. You give me. You sacrifice our time together. You're not with me. You're out making money. You're not sinning. You're just out making the money. You're out working. You're out providing these things for me. And I'm the kind of woman, that's not what I want. I want you. I married you. That's what I want. Say, well, that's the Lord. I want you. I don't want your service for service sake. I don't want those things. When you do something, I want you to do it because you love me. You know me. You live to please me. We saw that last night. If you're going to live to please the Lord, you got to know him. To please somebody, you have to really know them. See? So the greatest praise you can give Jesus Christ is to love him. The greatest praise you can give the Holy Spirit is to trust him. Spiritual love is essential in receiving the crown of righteousness. Spiritual love is essential in receiving the crown of life. If you do not develop spiritual love, no rewards. No rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. if you do not have spiritual love, all these attributes are of no profit to you. All the things you've done, no profit whatsoever when you stand before Him and look at Him face to face. But look at all that I did for you. I don't want that. You missed it. You missed it. I wanted a relationship with you. So our passage says, blessed, approved by God is the man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. One more passage we're just going to read. Look at Revelation 2. Now that ought to be easy to find. Revelation 2. And let's read verse 10 together. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. 2017, my application. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Well, that's a nice thought. So that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. Again, the crown of life is associated with perseverance. Perseverance is associated with the love of Christ. Now, here's a good place. Spend a little time. We spend some time talking about spiritual love, the magnitude, the direction, and all. Let me just talk about the magnitude of spiritual love as we close out this special. We've talked about it, illustrated it, referred to passages about the magnitude of love. What is it? The magnitude of love is that force of love that will enable you not to be distracted. Forces working on you in this world, from the world, from your own flesh, from Satan, trying to get you away from living your life from Christ, increasing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of Christ, trying to do all of these things. It'll be people. It may be even your husband, your wife. See? It might be your parents. It might be work. It might be politics. It might be anything. The world, the flesh, and the devil himself. Do you have the magnitude of love that no matter what happens in 2017, I'll be right here with you, Lord, as we close January 1, 2018. Now we come to the third and last crown listed, and I'm going to just mention this one. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's called the crown of glory. The crown of glory. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The best that I can tell, the crown of glory is for the pastor teacher only. I can't find any passages or scripture that deal with the crown of glory for the believer. So let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm doing, why am I doing this? It's just for the pastor. Because people, I've said over and over how important it is that you pay attention who you listen to teach you the Word of God. How vitally important that is. It's important to God. Let's see how important it is to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, Jesus Christ at the rapture, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, appears, rapture, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, God recognizes how important the pastor teacher is. Does he teach you the gospel and truth? Does he teach you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? People, multitude of pastors will talk about love, but they're talking about human love. They don't know how to get filled with the Spirit and to have the love of the Holy Spirit. So the crown of glory is rewarded eternally by the chief shepherd to the pastor who does his job. The primary function of the pastor is to study and to teach. He will often be opposed as to his teaching for his apparent neglect in other areas and duties in the church that really belong to members of the church who are very gifts. So the challenge for 2017, prepare for the inevitable, the judgment seat of Christ. That's my challenge. Be prepared for the inevitable. Live in the Holy Spirit by faith. Walk in the Holy Spirit by faith. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit by faith. Persevere in increasing in the knowledge of Christ and the wisdom of God and His plan. Persevere through 2017, developing an intimacy with Christ that overcomes all distractions that come your way. Let's close in a word of wow. Well, thank you very much, Heavenly Father, for a happy new year, telling us about the judgment seat of Christ, telling us what is waiting for each of us. But we do thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this information, giving us this challenge, that we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and we're going to have our love examined. Not our life, our love. Did we love your Son so much that it influenced our daily life? Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use these things, Heavenly Father, in our own lives as we make daily decisions. Your Holy Spirit can use this to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.